This morning's scripture is from the New Testament epistle, Ephesians, found in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. This can be found on page 193 of your pew Bible if you wish to follow along. Unity in the body of Christ. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. To read the sign. What is God's goal for you? Well, when you think about that, you have to come to the understanding that God does really have a plan for you. I know there are people out there that say, well, you know, if God's got a plan, why is it that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? If it's God's plan, well, then good things should happen to good people and bad things should happen to bad people, right? Well, that would be if God was making us do everything exactly as he wants us to do. And God's above that. He created us with a will. He gave us free will. And we're just not too great at exercising it. Because that free will, oftentimes for us, has us impacting negatively other parts of the body. And we're all in this together. We may not like it. We may want to be eyes. We may want to be ears. We may want to be the mouth that speaks all the time. But that's not the way God designed us. That's not the way God created it. That's not the way God put it together. God has a goal for each and every one of us, and that goal is that we move on to perfection, that we have him in our lives. Part of that is our baptism, where we're baptized in water and spirit, and we have that indwelling, that heavenly host that takes up residence in our bodies, in our lives. And we may not know it at the time, but he's moving, he's working with us, he's working in us, and eventually it comes out as we become ourselves, that gifted, talented creature that God's intended us to be. Now, we're going to make choices along the way, and some of them are going to be wise and good choices. Where did you choose to go to college? Sam Houston. Prayerfully, that will be a good choice. Time will prove that out. Time proves every choice that we make. God and time proves out whether or not that was such a wise move or not. But we have to make choices. We have to live our lives. We have opportunities and we have to take them. So let's take them knowing that God does have a plan. God does have a purpose. God does have a goal for us. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians in this one. And in the fourth chapter, there are only six chapters to Ephesians. It's pretty short, but it's powerful. It's almost like the condensed Romans, Epistle to the Romans, where Paul lays out Christianity. Well, in Ephesians, in six very short, succinct chapters, he nails it, I think. But Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, and he's a prisoner in Rome at this point in time, we believe. He says, I, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. See, you know, even though this life that you have where you have opportunities to make choices, God has a plan for you, and He is calling you. He is calling you. You can spend 30 years in the Navy, sailing around the world, giving Him the Heisman, not yet, Lord, not yet, Lord, it's not my plan, not my plan, and He's going to get you someday. You may be flying helicopters for the Army. You may be doing whatever, driving tanks, firing artillery, driving an ambulance, sitting in a school room, teaching and educating, playing an organ in a church, or a policeman or a fireman. All of those things are what God's called you to do, I believe. And we do it with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. We're supposed to even treat our sisters with love. Even though, I don't know, sometimes they're pretty unlovable. But we're to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what God wants us to do. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as we are called to the one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. He ties it up in a bow. He says it is all about God. It is all about our faith in God. It is all about our hope in God. Hope is the faith for things not yet seen. Faith is the hope for things not yet seen in Hebrews 11. Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. How many things in life do we have evident in front of our faces and we can't doubt it, can't dispute it, it's right there? Not very many. The vast majority of things that we encounter are things that are not so evident, not so self-evident, that someone loves you when they discipline you. The love's not so evident at that point in time. The discipline is. But they love you nonetheless. God's love for us is always there. There's something about God. You know, we talk about one Lord, one Spirit, one God, one faith, one hope. God is undefinable. Because if He were definable, if we could articulate Him, if we could capture Him and condense Him and put Him down into our words so that we would understand, He wouldn't be God. He certainly wouldn't be a very powerful God, because He'd be what we can determine. But you know, the beauty is, that's not God. God defines us. Each of us was given grace. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Not as in accordance with what we want, not in accordance with what we think we deserve, but in accordance with the grace of Christ's gift. So who chooses what gifts and talents you get? God does. Now, what you do with it is a totally different thing. You can learn to play an instrument, and it might not be that saxophone was what you were gifted with. But, you know, if you try at it long enough or hard enough, I'm not letting anybody off the hook over there. Or the piano or the organ or any of those other instruments, but you can still apply yourself and play it and make beautiful music. So that's the first part. This is, with verse 4, we're looking at there is one body, one spirit. You know, the scriptures are celebrated in a lot of the songs that we sing today, the words that are there. And when we celebrate communion, it's one body, the body of Christ, which is given for us. One Holy Spirit that transforms those ordinary loaf, that ordinary loaf of bread and that ordinary fruit of the vine up there and make it something extraordinary. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Get that? In all. When we receive communion, we're all going to eat from that same loaf. We're all going to drink from the same containers, the same juice that's been blessed by the same Holy Spirit. And you know what? That makes us one body. And the gifts that were that some would be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See, he has a plan for you, and he's going to equip you, but he's not doing it for no reason. He doesn't have a plan for you to just exist. That has never been God's plan for you. If it were, he would just walk away from you when you walk away from him. But he never does. Because wherever you are, he is right there beside you. I don't know how it's been in your life, but there are too many times when I thought I had made my choice and I was going where I wanted to go, only to be brought up short. that was not where God wanted me to be. That was not what God wanted me to be doing, and I better get myself back in the right direction. The gifts that he's given us for building up the body of Christ. Why? Because people are going to see us, people are going to hear us, and we should be doing things that edify Christ, not edify us, not make us powerful and wonderful and blessed, but work those things for the good of all those. Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things to the good of those who love the Lord in Christ Jesus. But the goal that he has for us, building up the body of Christ until, I want you to, have you got your Bibles open? Verse 13. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith. Until just Sydney or just Sierra or just Al or just Val? No, all of us. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to measure the full stature of Christ. Not that we're going to be able to understand. He is so immense. He is so eminent. Talk about somebody who's preeminent. That's the highest level, the highest thing to stand into. The Pope in the Catholic Church is referred to as His Eminence. Holy, set apart, high, above all. God is eminent, but He's also imminent. He's coming. He's coming. We need to have this knowledge of the Son of God to maturity. You and I are not to be acting as if we were children all of our lives. As we know more about God, as we become more understanding of how life can twist us and turn us, and how life and friends and family aren't always going to be there when we need them, but there is one who is always there. It is Christ Jesus, God the Father and Jesus the Son. That Trinity, Holy Trinity, that one we can always count on. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. No! You know, you go off to college, and some of you have been to college a number of years, and you're going back, and some of you are just starting, and you know what, you face some things in high school, and I don't know what you're going to face in college. But I know there are going to be a lot of people that have a lot of things that you should do, could do. They won't hurt you. It's cool. I've done it. And you'll enjoy it. It'll be great fun. Well, that may or may not be true. Just like living our lives as a Christian, the things that everybody else does that don't edify God, that don't edify the church, that don't edify our brothers and sisters, you can do it. But someone who is mature, someone has grown, someone who is growing into the goal that God has for you is someone who's going to be in the Word, reading the Word, finding out what God wants you to do, and then listening to Him. And then doing what He tells you to do. Speak the truth in love. Parents, how many times have you had to do that? In love. We grow in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from the whole body, joined and knit together by that Holy Spirit. One body, just as Jesus inexplicably, it's impossible to wrap our finite minds about how God is the Father who created all that is. Jesus is part of Him. He's been there with Him. He's the Word of God. He was with Him in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God and John. And that Holy Spirit that Jesus had to ascend into heaven so that the Father would send the Holy Spirit. That sounds like three separate one. One. And He has a goal for you, an ultimate goal. And you'll take side jaunts, detours, cruise ships, and all kinds of other vacations, etc. But God has a plan for you, and He has an ultimate goal. And I hope and pray that you come early to finding out what it is God's goal is for your life. And then live into that goal. Live into that life. Allow Him to live into you. Sounds simple. All I have to do is let go and let God, right? He does want us to put some sweat equity into it. One faith, one hope, one God, one goal. And it's all of us together forever with Him. Shalom. Peace.